Hi, this is Cliff for the picture-poems.com website in the circle in the square. Thanks for tuning in. Talking Hands, our vocal yoga practice. You can hear right in the middle of it. There's our tambura, the drone that we'll come back to that in a moment, and our metronome. That's set to about 160 beats per minute. And if you're thinking, is that a quarter note, an eighth note, or a half? It's none of those. Beat is what? It's a more general concept, so it's very handy in picture poems. Now, why would it be set to 160? Because the measure in Talking Hands, Talking Feet, or you can just say Talking Hands, is always related, determined, you could say, by what? By the breath. So our basic unit of counting is five. Now, why is that? Well, it's because that's our neutral heart space. So we count in sets of five. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four. Now, why did I just knock out 14 steps? Well, 14 steps, it's like if you do poetry that's popular nowadays to do or imitate the Japanese form, a haiku, which, as most of us in English would say, 17 what? Syllables. Well, again, we generalize in Talking Hands, Talking Feet. To make it more simple and complex, we say simplex at the same time. So instead of saying syllable, we say step. And why is that better? Well, your feet step. One, two, three, four, like I could dance that pattern of 14. Dot, 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 dot. You can't quite see that, but I'm dancing as I sit here in just a casual half lotus on the ground. Let's, by the way, place ourselves in natural time. It's, heaven forbid, it's a Monday. So it's the 18th of May, and it's about 7 in the morning natural time, and we have a little bit of relief from all this cold front back and forth, so the wind is calm. That's a real blessing. So that's why I thought I'd do this five time spaces. That's our theme, five time spaces in Talking Hands, Talking Feet. And it's normally something that we'll go into. I'm not very good at it, and I'm struggling with it. Now, what would you say? Well, Cliff, gee, you made it up. Well, sometimes you discover something, but you can't actually perform it, right? That's, if you're a composer-performer, that happens all the time. That's just the way it is. And in the tradition in which I work, where you write things down eventually and give them to yourself and to other people. Well, in the Talking Hands, this emerged after decades, this five time spaces of, what are they? Speech time. That's our first one. I'm talking in speech time. We'll come back to that. And then, not syllable time, but step time. Like you could have a warm-up that just goes, one, two, three, four, five, one, two, three, four, five. That's step time. And notice, compared to one, two, three, four, five, there are infinitely many ways I could say that in speech time. And the second step, it's like running it through a digital filter almost. You simplify it by straightening out, in a gentle way, the what? The rhythm. So in speech time, this phrase has five steps, dee, 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 dee. And then we put it in step time, simplify. Dee, 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 dee. This phrase has five steps. This phrase has five steps. But notice the natural inflection, tone, pitch, or if you're scanning, like they teach you at a conservatory, digital scanning, it has a pitch. This phrase has five steps. So if I end in a high D for me, well, they always still have a pitch. So we're forgetting about that. D, 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 D. You can hear, and even though I'm not saying it, you hear the words, right? That's the whole point. Because we're going around this magic circle. And at the center of that circle is the next step. So you don't have to wait too long. And it's called chant time. And we're doing exactly the same thing, simplifying. But now we're crossing into a complementary... Whoops, hold on a second here. A complementary zone that is no longer speech. And it's going into what? Music. So the whole point of this five different time spaces, there are many things, is that we're discovering, not by thinking about it just, we are thinking about it, and you have to have a new language to think about it. It's like learning Latin or Spanish or German. It takes a while to learn the concepts. Those are just something with which we get a hold of this ground in a reality, the objective reality of what I'm saying, and understand it in a new light, which might or might not reveal something. So the whole point of Talking Hands is that it reveals a lot. But we never stop at the conceptual. We take it into a fully embodied being, a kind of performance, if you will. What I'm doing right now. Like, this isn't written down, obviously. I'm just, like the charming Bucky Fuller used to say, thinking out loud. And we're going to be coming into, in a way, the greatest composer of the past 100 years. And if you thought I was going to say Igor Stravinsky, you're wrong. I'm going to say Edgar Varese. Now, you could say, well, Cliff, that's just your personal bias. Well, okay, well, you can leave it at that. But in the same way, you demonstrate concepts fully embodied. Now, when I say something like that, I have to demonstrate it. And right now, because I don't have my own little orchestra like the old days, like the Osco Ensemble, to do that, and we actually did that. It took everybody's breath away. That means it stops them in their tracks. I said, holy cow, who is this Varese guy? Well, we're going to find out a little bit with this five different time spaces. So where are we at now? This phrase has five steps. This phrase has five steps. This phrase has... That's why it's helpful to have... This is a Persian word. Is that buzzy sound, which is octaves and fifths. Don't worry about that if you don't know what those are. But it's a certain quality of sound. It's constant. It's, a digital mechanical, but it's the best we got here. We always work with the best we got, not perfect. And it grounds our sense of sound. But just the word... Tambura, what does that sound like in English? The first thing that comes to my mind is tambourine, tambura, timpani. tympanum, that thing we have in the most miraculous natural design of our ear, the inner ear, those three smallest bones in the body that are converting what physicists, for a musician, that's the ugliest language you can use, a disturbance of the ear. It's not for a musician, I beg your pardon, a disturbance, but for a physicist, that's a way of thinking, right? And it's totally, for a musician, counterintuitive. We do not think that, well, at least I don't know anyone who does. So we're coming back to our five different time stages. We're at what? Chant, a simple. So we put it through a filter. This phrase has five steps. This phrase has five steps. This phrase has five steps. So all of a sudden something happened, not just in our brain, but in our whole being. In Talking Hands, we perceive sound in a fully embodied way, which we obviously don't, because that means whole, and we're all broken apart, me included. So Talking Hands is about healing that broken circle of the five different time spaces. The broken circle of the five different time spaces. Now, we, in Talking Hands, in the first hour of your practice, we're in the second hour now, where we add neat things like the tambour. We have that metronome, that 160 in the background. Don't forget their beats. No, 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 quarter notes or eighth. You see, that's musicians, if you're a musician, if you're a mathematician, you know exactly, not how it sounds, but intellectually, just mere intellect, what beats per minute means. Well, in the old days, like in the time of Bach, they had no means of really measuring that. It was really, you know, a little bit before that with Galileo that he had the idea of measuring the speed of a ball going down a ramp with a metronome. So this whole thing of measure is something that we look at in a neutral state. We're looking at it without trying to change it. We're looking at how it shapes our perception. And it's best to be aware of it without trying to change it. But this whole thing of measurement is constantly in the background of Talking Hands. Because why? We want appropriate measure. And measure we can turn on and off, like the flick of a switch. So we're in chant time. Chant time. Now, why did I bring in Edgar Varèse? It's in the air because I happen to be doing a little new music reports. If you don't know the new music reports, Google that or go to SoundCloud and tune in, because it's a lot of fun. They're what I think are the central questions in new art, progressive new art music, that we're not asking. And again, as you know, if you know my other Thinking Out Loud pieces, more in philosophy, that I'm not interested in the content of what you're doing. I'm interested in the questions that are taking you into the unknown. That's what I'm interested in. Show me three of your most important questions. Well, if climate breakdown isn't one of those questions, well, yeah, move on. Even if I don't care what you do, but somehow you don't have a sense of the relevant problems of the age in which you're living, damn it. So that means everything that you will do further downstream will be somehow corrupted and irrelevant. Now, is that a theory or a fact? For me, it's a fact, but just take it as a way of looking and look at it. It might be true, it might not be true. We're in the dialogue circle now. Well, let's put a phrase, this piece about Edgar Varèse and the new music reports. It's, to me, not that it's so, how should I say? There are a lot of things I could say about it. I'll talk about that later. But let's stick with our five different time spaces, because we're stuck now. We're sitting in the middle. This phrase has five steps. Well, in 1917, Edgar Varese penned a little phrase. It's almost like a poem that was later brought together by his acolyte student that I actually met in the old days at Columbia University. I almost went to school there and happily didn't. He told me I was brought there. Yeah, let's loosen up now. Grandpa Cliff gives an anecdote that I was thinking about doing graduate work there. I had almost had my bachelor's degree from Cleveland Institute of Music. And they push you out, as every good parent should. Now go out and do something on your own. Get the hell out of Cleveland. Go to New York. And I had an invitation from the great Mario Davidovsky to study with him. And the only reason I wanted to go to Columbia was that. Wasn't politics or demonstrations or anything else. I wanted to use their computer studio. And Chao Wing Chung said to me, in this very dark, I can see it as a film in front of me, it was this bent over figure. This is what actually happened. And he was looking at papers, it could have been music of Edgar Varese, and because he became, after working with him for almost two decades, he became the caretaker of the estate. Well, he said, Cliff, I don't think he had read anything. Here I've gone all the way, 1,200 kilometers or whatever it is, from Cleveland to New York. And he said, you can use the studio, but only after 2 years of doing German. Well, I basically said, well, that's very good, Dr. Chung, and left. Because I said, there's no way on God's good earth that I'm going to do that. So that was it for my career at Columbia. Now, why am I saying that? It's because of all the way back in 1917. And believe me, the man who was interviewing did not embody in any way whatsoever the energy of Edgar Varese. And that's what I was looking for. Not a conceptual thing, or an appointment thing, or doctorates, or anything. I wanted that energy. And if it wasn't there, I wasn't going to waste my time. I've always been that way, for better or worse. It does a lot of good things, and it gets you in a lot of trouble. But in 1917, Varese published in the journal, a Dadaist journal. Now, is that important? Absolutely not. But what he said is crucially important. Our musical alphabet is poor in the logical. Now that's a criticism. Our musical alphabet is poor in the logical. When he said that, he was 34 or 35. So he had just come to New York City from a war-torn, this is 19, so it's in the middle of a totally unnecessary, insane slaughtering field. Don't even call it a war. It was total insanity that just almost destroyed the world in Europe. And he escaped that to coming to the peaceful, it must have been surreal, the skyline of New York City, stepping off a steamboat, and all of a sudden he was liberated from that. That's number one. And of course, he must have been tremendously jealous of the great composer, we've already mentioned him, only 1 year older, Igor Stravinsky, who had taken Paris totally by storm. From 1909, no, this is not right at the right, but we can rehearse that, 1909 through 1913, and bam, it was over. It was just over. And everything, regardless of the pieces that they were trying to do during that time, like to jump ahead, for 8 years almost, Igor Stravinsky, during the war and up until after the war, worked on his magnificent masterpiece, Le Nos, The Marriage. Now, Edgar Varèse happened to perform Le Nos with an organization that he created in the city where he had just arrived. This guy is not messing around, right? First, the saying of what he said. This is 1917. We do not understand, it's more than 110 years, some 10 years later, a word of what he's saying. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. Now, I would say spot on, but it goes on. Music, which should pulse with life, we forget that constantly. If it's not alive, throw it out. Don't perform it. Walk out of the room. Same thing for poetry. Same thing for math. If it's not alive, fully embodied in this age of mechanical intellect and AI, well, at least see it for what it is. So music, which should pulse with life, needs new means of expression. That's what we're doing right now. And the third phrase of the three, and only science can infuse it with youthful vigor. So this is not the Ballet Russe, as great as that is. This is coming from a totally new space that's addressing the most crucial alive problems, questions. Again, give me your questions. Well, Varèse lays it right out. Those are his questions. So now he said it. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. Music, which should pulse with life, needs new means of expression. And only science can infuse it with youthful vigor. Okay, so he said it. Well, that doesn't mean anything, Ed. Now he's got to demonstrate the truth of what he's saying. That's the spirit, right? He's not projecting how great a composer he is. He's talking about a new way of not just doing or hearing or composing, but being music. And he's not messing around. By 1919, don't forget he's only been in New York City for 4 years. Just as an immigrant, right? You speak with an accent. He never learned to speak English without an accent. That's very difficult to do. And he starts what? An orchestra. Well, you do not start. I mean, that's a totally outrageous thing to do. Just to play Haydn, say 40 or 50 people, well, those 40 or 50 people, even way back in 1917, they're going to get paid. This is going to be a professional orchestra. But he's not messing around. This is going to be his orchestra, a performance collective. And in English nowadays, if we read a history book about this, nothing has really, other than, I'll just say this right now, the great book, I wish I had it with me. There's no e-book version. If you're a publisher, there's a scandal. Make an e-book version of Varèse, A Looking Glass Diary, written by the woman who was the French translator, who was to become his wife, Louise Norton, Louise Varèse. She's a part of this story too. Well, 1919, he begins an orchestra. And it's a long story, but he insists that it be a performance collective. Well, do it. You have to, I can just imagine the meetings and all of the BS that he had to put up with to do something, to find the people, to find the money. This is all going to be financed by, like, the Vanderbilts of the era, which I know nothing about, have very little interest in, but he was able to find, with others, of course, because he's working together with other people, to find the money. But the money wasn't going to be determining what's going on. You see, normally in an orchestra, that's one of the purest militaristic hierarchical forms there is. At the top is, of course, the general conductor. But really, normally a he. Now, is that liberation if women start to conduct? Well, of course it is. But obviously, from a wider circle, it isn't. A female general in the field killing Iranians is not an enlightened being. Well, the comparison is not exaggerated, because that's how orchestras work. You have a board of directors, which is answerable to the people, the Exxon Mobils of the world, who have the cash. And so the people with the money, I bet they're going to be polite, but they're pulling the strings. They want this play, they want this Beethoven, they want this Wilhelm Mingelberg, whoever, you know, he was hanging out there with the New York Philharmonic. Well, that's how the New York Philharmonic has always been run. The only exception to that was in the 50s and 60s when the great Leonard Bernstein was the head. And they couldn't control that kind of tremendous creative energy, very similar to Perez. They couldn't control that. And so many fantastic creative things happened. But as soon as he's gone, well, that's it for them. And coming back to our circle, so we have that 1917 with that, our musical alphabet is, let's put that, our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. Musical alphabet is, so now we're back in talking hands. Where are we? We're in the chant. So we're moving natural speech time, thinking out loud now, and we're moving that into music. Music which should pulse with life. Now we're going to move it into what? Into song time. And we're going to do this in talking hands. We keep it very simple. It's like you throw a dice. You can pick 2, 3, maximum 4 or 5 notes. And they're just given to you at random. And then you compose a song. Always improvise. This is not written down. So, our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. Music which should pulse with life needs new means of expression. And only science can infuse it with youthful vigor. So what did I do? We're not simplifying anymore. Let's take a breath. We're in our simplexity cycle. Simple to complex, complex to simple. Everything that happens in talking hands, talking feet, is based on a circle that begins to turn in a cycle that we call complementarity. And the thing we're trying to heal is that Western culture has destroyed, not just broken apart, every single complementarity, even the most basic man, woman. If we're confused about anything in Western culture, gender is at the top of the list. To be confused about gender is to be confused about everything. And that's how our kids are growing up. So we have now speech time. step time, chant time. We're going around our circle. And now song time. So now we're really bringing it into music, the muse. Now what you have to do with talking hands is suspend all your assumptions about what's song, what's music, what's chant. It's just, they're just sounds that beginning to move in terms of those, what the physicist calls a disturbance of the air column. And that's a variation of all things, the pressure, which is what? It's moving in a cycle, an oscillation. But of course, we don't experience that at all. Even if you're looking at a contrabass string, you hardly see the vibrations, let alone from your own voice. So that's number four. By the way, and go back to step time, our musical alphabet is por intelligenco. That's 14 steps. Music, which should pulse with life, needs new means of expression. That's 14 steps. And only science can infuse it with youthful vigor. Also 14 steps. Now, why is there at the bottom of the diagram for talking hands, talking feet, that I'll put this with, this thing called the qualitative spatial temporal ground? Now, I don't want to say too much about that now. But there is a mystery, you see. So we have 14 steps, but the way we act, now is this a theory or a fact? For me, it's a fact, but just take it as a theory. What's Cliff talking about? Well, music in time is not primary. It unfolds in time and then infolds back out of time. Into something that I think of, you can find your own analogy, like a crystal that's outside of, it's almost not quite completely outside of time and space. Now wrap your head around that if you're an AI programmer. You see, a computer can't possibly do that, right? It's fully chained to objective reality. The only thing that it imitates, it doesn't know anything, but it can read every book that's ever been written in any language that's ever been digitized. So it's an impressive what? Intellect. Which you can use or not use, that's up to you, depending on your work, and is certainly going to become explosively relevant in our current situation. So I'm interested in the questions, not your conclusions. About AI. I want to find out for myself. So we're exploring it right now. So those 14 little steps, we can dance it. Again, it's our musical alpha. We put it in chant time. Our musical alphabet is poor in the logical. So I'm getting bored. I'm improvising. And now put it into song time. Our musical alphabet is poor in the logical. That's enough. Well, 18 steps to get a sense as it moves into that temporal ground out of the cycle of five different time spaces, something magical happens that's crucial for composing, whether it be poetry, math, or music. Is that time folds back into space, and to get a sense of how complex, in the complexity is always good in talking is not complicatedness. It's the difference between Stockhausen and Verez. Stockhausen, always complicated. Anything is noted down. The only exception is the great Gesang der Jungen. We'll talk about that later on another occasion. But Verez is never complicated. Never. I don't know a single measure notated now that I could point to and say, no, it's always gone through some sort of alchemical crucible of his inner being, through his all-embodied perception. That's what's so liberating about Varese, the liberation of musical movement that we perceive with our whole being, not what Igor Stravinsky eventually became. We didn't finish that story about Lenos. Well, they actually did Lenos. Try it. Start your own ensemble and do Lenos. I guarantee you, that's a very, very difficult piece. The great Igor Stravinsky worked 8 years on that piece, just trying to figure out how to write it down. Let alone do the instrumentation. It went through countless different varieties, but he had somehow the creative energy to keep on doing it and doing it, but to create an orchestra that actually performed that piece. Well, that's absolutely amazing. And don't forget, they had already started an orchestra, the New Symphony Orchestra, in 1919. Now, what's the first piece they performed? Berlioz, Requiem. And I don't want to go into that piece, but what was it for? To honor all the war dead. Now, there is the genius of Varese again, not just the Americans. Don't forget, Varese thought the great Charles Ives was the greatest of American composers. Almost nothing of Ives had been performed, but he was spot on. That's true to this day. There's no one in North American musical indigenous history that comes close to the second violin sonata, Over the Pavements, the unanswered question, the great Fourth Symphony. Those pieces, those are the only ones you need to know, and a few songs. Well, Charles Ives fighting against the war, it's one hell of a story. If you don't know, read the biographies. Putting up posters. He was a very wealthy man, made his money in the insurance business, heaven forbid. But he was very wealthy. He was putting up posters in New York City against the war and had a heart attack, a stroke, and was basically in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So, but Varese saw the real thing. Somehow, I wish I knew the details of the story. So if you know them, send them to me. But in this insistence that it be verbose, you can just imagine what happened. That was, for just the world at large, totally incomprehensible. So Varese really is, in a way, 100 years ahead of his time. A collective performance group that plays a piece to honor all the war. Just imagine trying to organize that in 2026 in North America. You would not have a chance. That's real progressive. Asking this question, well, if I'm going to honor it, I'm going to honor all the war dead. It's like taking down that not-so-great Vietnam wall that they put up with all the names of the dead. Well, that they did not put the 5 million Vietnamese who were slaughtered on that wall is a total sin against humanity. That's how Varese thought. So it's up to you, dear listener, to know not what side you're on, but who is speaking truth. And you can never say quite why that resonates with the ground of truth. But you can tell that I feel very strongly that Varese understood something that we do not see to this day. And it all resonates together. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. So mathematically, you do a trick of a set. So we have 14 things in a set. Anything, steps, but they're steps and talking hands, talking feet. You take the square of that, 196, and that'll give you an idea of the complexity. Now, if we add to that, the music which should pulse with life needs new means of expression. We added another 20, so that makes what? 28. It goes up exponentially. The complexity of the world will go up for the conscious mind, what AI does, intellect, exponentially. So it's going to defeat you if you try to keep track of all those relationships. But outside of that normal step consciousness, we easily do it. And the better the poet, the better the mathematician, the better the composer, the better the conductor you are, the better you can do that. And that's something that is awakened, right? It's a God-given gift. But normally, if you don't know about it, you're not going to do anything, right? Right? Like Frank Zappa would say, well, they've never been exposed to Varese. He was a student of Varese, not actually, but spiritually. One of the greatest, right, in his admiration of Varese. Actually organized concerts, playing almost the whole chamber repertoire of Varese in 1984. You can listen to it on the internet. That's amazing that he did that. Well, he would say, if they're not exposed to it, of course they're not going to like it. We're only exposed to what? The greatest sin of predatory capitalism is the instrumentalization, I can hardly say that word, of what? Of music. So we're conditioned to like a particular piece of music. Well, in Talking Hands, Talking Feet, it's not about like. It's about truth. So it could be something that is tremendously irritating at first. But when you suddenly have the word is insight, that takes you to a new place that you see how it all fits together. Well, so now we go from 196 to 784. And if we do the whole thing, we're adding it up in that square thing. So you can see it's going to go up. We're not very good at the exponential sweep. That our last phrase, and only science can infuse it with youthful vigor. So now we have the full set of 42. And it's only because we're in talking hands that we're counting. When we're actually performing, we don't do that. That's the whole point, that it becomes totally a part of our embodied being. Get it? So that makes 1764, 1764. So you can see we have this sweep of creative complexity, not complicatedness. So trying to think of a circle with all those 42, if you draw a line between those 42 steps or sounds, you will get 1,764 relationships, which obviously even the greatest chess player can't think about 1,764 moves in advance. AI can, but the normal chess player won't be able to do that. But what happens when we take that outside of time? Then something very mysterious is happening. Now, The mark of a good poet or conductor, mathematician, but now we're saying conductor, right? And we're trying to make conductors unnecessary. Be that as it may, is that they hold that crystal in their heart mind before they walk on stage. And that heart mind is energy. So that energy outside of space and time just totally fills the space. Now, in Western culture, what are you talking about, Cliff? I'm talking about art and music and truth. And if you haven't experienced that yourself, they're just concepts. But if I were to go in a room, that would be the first thing I would look for in a conductor. If they don't have that, I say, well, you're very good, but you're still practicing. Well, Varese definitely had that. Why do I say that? Because he struggled. He's seeing these pieces. The first one they did, I have to go on with our story, is that, well, after that performance of the Berlioz, get this, the collective votes, evidently, the Varese out. So they actually threw him out of the collective because they just thought Varese, in their view, was just too radical. That's always what a reactionary would think. Somebody who's progressive, who's fighting for truth, without saying what the truth is, he's there or she's there to demonstrate it, is always going to be resistant, right? And if you throw in organized religion, which poisons everything, they'll try to stone them to death, right? That's how violent we can become. Well, artists are no different. If you identify with art as you, without seeing the movement of identification, then the same thing happens. It's just a different content. So just, for example, replace, instead of Christianity or Islam or Hinduism or whatever, replace it with Schoenberg or even Stravinsky or, Varese. That's how people are. So in the dialogue space in which we're sitting right now, we observe that natural poisoning tendency to identify tacitly, that means silently, unknowingly, in ignorance, what we're thinking about. So 1764. Well, if I don't have that in that space, don't conduct, don't play. Then you're just imitating. And of course, that just means stop. Okay, we got some practice to do. And I'm suggesting how to heal that break. So what's the fifth time space? We just had our musical alphabet is poor and illogical, 196. Well, we put that back into natural speech time. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. Notice how the music in the text at once come alive and become instantly, vastly more, how should you say, comprehensible. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. I'm just improvising. Logical. Music, which it pulses with life, needs new means of expression. Just have fun. And only science can infuse it with youthful vigor. Well, let's wrap this up now. So we've been all the way around the circle. And I'm not going to talk about our new touring imitation game, that when you can build an AI that can do what I just did with any phrase you give it, then that will take my breath away. We're a long way from being able to do that. And still, what's important to remember, it's only imitating. It does not understand in the sense that we're using it, fully embodied, not intellect, but intelligence. Fully embodied intellect. Intelligence, not intellect. But let's wrap this up. We've been around that whole circle of the five different time space. Speech time, infinitely complex. We could spend many more thinking out loud sessions on that. Speech time, step time, that magical thing that we're headed towards music simply by taking a filter of the passing the infinitely complex and the vastly simpler. So there's our complementarity. And then the most mysterious in a way, see if you agree, is moving it into chant time, which of course other cultures have not lost. But we in our Western tradition, with the instrumentalization of predatory capitalism or whatever you want to call it, it's only there for the money. And it instrumentalizes everything. That's what contemporary orchestras do. If you're in a professional orchestra, heaven forbid, you should have your own collective. So I'm talking very, I'm not trying to shame you. I'm trying to say exactly what you're doing. You're a cog in a very industrial, mechanical, almost militaristic machine, almost without exception. I've witnessed it my whole performance life. I left Cleveland and my beloved principals that I knew all personally, were standing on the pavement with picket signs against the conductor. I'm not going to mention his name, but it was a he, with his Rolex watch and all the rest of it, that they did not want. That conductor was forced on them. Well, Perez understood that, but he said he's not just going to complain. He's going to demonstrate with a new performance collective. Well, I'll put a link to this, to the full new music report, how Perez changed America music in just one decade, 1917 to 1927. But we don't have enough time now. I wish we did. But let's wrap this up. Honoring the great Perez, but all of the rest of those who fought so hard for new music. Igor Stravinsky's a part of that, certainly. But don't forget that they did, not just talk about it, they did Arnold Schoenberg, Opus 24, the Serenade. Look at that score. To this day, it's incredibly, not unfortunately complex, but complicated. But then after, I've never done that piece. I wish I could. I would do it right now, even though I despise the music. That means like. That's just a superficial thing. I don't care if you like my music to be controversial. I just want the music to be true. And whatever happens to it, well, that depends on the muse, right? I have no control. It's like a seed you blow out into the wind. Well, just think of doing, and then at the end of that, I'll just wrap it up. They did the first performance of the great Amarik. That's a vast orchestra of more than 100. It's very rarely performed, very difficult to do. That was 1926, and to top it off, in 1927, they did the greatest piece of all, the magnum opus, Arcana, for 120 musicians, more than 12 percussionists. Well, I've never had the privilege of doing that piece. I made a great mistake in turning down an opportunity. But just to copy the parts for that piece, let alone perform it, well, do it. That's what he was doing. Not just he, but the whole collective with his wife, Louise, with all the rest of them. There was a great cafe. I have to end with this. Because cafes are much more than a place where you just go to drink and smoke and laugh and tell jokes and stories like we're telling right now. But the Romani Marie Cafe, which was embodied, reincarnated 11 times, they would close it down. It was in Greenwich Village. I'll just do this real fast. It no longer exists, unfortunately. It was reincarnated 11 times. They would just probably didn't have the money to pay the rent, and they would put up a sign, "The caravan has moved," and put the street address. Always in Greenwich Village. I don't remember how many years that went on. But the whole time that Perez was put, it was called the International Composers Guild Concerts. We'll talk about that in another time. But the beginning is the source crystal of 1916. Our musical alphabet is poor and illogical. That's what it started from, and that's why I'm coming back to it. But they ended that whole series. It's a story of stories. It's covered in the report, so read that. That the performance of Arcana, where the energy came from to do all these things. Well, there's nothing in the present era. I watch like a hawk what all the so-called new music ensembles are doing, because that's my background. Well, there's not one that could do what they did. Not one that could come, just the idea of doing it, they would pass out. And they're not just going to play Arcana, they're doing it for the first time, and they have to make a set of parts. Well, where is that? How are they going to get the rehearsal time? Where are they going to be able to do it? Well, they did it. And after that happened, we'll end with this. The Perez turns around and tells the public at the great, unfortunately, Greenwich Village, no longer there. Talk about predatory capitalism. The great Aeolian Theater, it sat 1,200 people and says, it's over. The International Composers Guild is now disbanded. We have accomplished our goal of establishing a progressive performance thing. We play once and it's over. So now we're moving on to something new. New music reports. Wow. Okay, thanks for listening. This is Cliff signing off for the picture-poems.com website and the circle and the square. Ciao for now.